Welcome to Tough Talk with Mike Sawyer and Oliver Kopp.
You guys rock!
Woo! MMA Radio, the way you like it. This is Tough Talk.
This weekend is a weekend of returns. Josh Barnett triumphantly returned to the UFC after more than a decade away. Anthony Showtime Pettis returned to the top of the sport by blowing through now former lightweight champion Ben Henderson. And Tough Talk returns for the first time in 18 months. I'm Oliver Kopp, still, and on the line with me right now is straight from Las Vegas, Mr. Mike Sawyer. Mike, what's going on?
It has been a while.
Yeah. How many events have passed? 30? 40?
Probably 30 or 40 events. A lot of shows. And I probably have seen you a couple of them over that time. I think last year for the heavyweight show, I believe. Yeah, that was Junior and Frank.
Jesus.
No. That's how long it's been.
Listen, Frank's been shitting the bed for a while now.
Holy hell.
What do you say? I mean, he's lost three back-to-back now. Do you cut him?
That's an interesting, you know, he's had a 12-year run, and you know how much I like to get on the guy. And I've said everything under the sun about him. He's had a 12-year run, which probably isn't going to happen again.
Hmm.
And how many guys are going to be able, he's fought every in the division, but at 34 years old, he really hasn't looked good. What's this, maybe the Nogueira fight? The first Nogueira fight?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if they'll cut him. They might have a little sentiment with him. He's been around forever. But he's definitely on the decline. I know he went to Jackson's. He got down to 248 pounds. He got his TRT exception. And no matter how long he's been there, it's just a question of what could have been. He's a two-time champion. He's beat a ton of guys. What could have been in the early days if he would have actually trained?
That too. And obviously without his accident, which probably threw him back a couple of years as well.
Yes, it did.
I mean, for me, it's a difficult question because on the one hand, he's very expensive. He has a high downside just to appear. But he's done the company so many favors over the years, taken fights that he probably shouldn't have taken, like the one against Junior last year. I want to say that I personally can't picture a UFC without Frank Mir.
I can't either. I really can't. And again, he's been around forever. It's a guy he started at the Combat Club with Ricardo and Sergio Pena. I think he lived with Ricardo at the time. They had a falling out, went to Lehman. He's been all over the place. He's kind of burned bridges, even though he's liked in Vegas. He's burned bridges at many of the gyms. He briefly trained at One Kicks. Nick threw him out.
Why?
Being lazy, not wanting to train. He's been all over the place. He had the Suffer Gym over by Texas Station. The knock on Frank that I've heard, and it's, he's not the only guy, but the knock on Frank is ridiculous talent. He just wanted to go at his own pace and do his own thing.
Right.
He wasn't one of the boys. He wasn't going to get in there. He wasn't going to run the hills. He wasn't going to do the cardio. He wasn't going to show up on time. And, you know, now it is finally, after 12 years in the UFC and taking damage against pretty much everybody, it's caught up to him. Guys have passed him. He's not going to beat Kane. He's not going to beat Junior. He looked terrible against Barnett. He looked terrible against Cormier. You know, we'll see what they do.
Is it fair to say that he might have a bit of a chip on his shoulder as far as training with the guys? Or do you think the experience of losing three straight now is going to humble him to a certain extent?
I think he's been humbled. I think that trip to Jackson's humbled him, sent him out there to get away from his family. I think he was at Jackson's 5 days a week, away from him. And he got in good shape. He got his TRT exception, which has done nothing for him. He looked terrible. He was chubby against Junior. For a guy on the TRT, I don't know, his doctor should be examined for whatever they've given him, because it was terrible. And he was good last night, but was the stoppage early? Probably, maybe. I don't know. I just know he was controlled the entire minute and 56 of that fight, where he got, again, like the Cormier fight, got bullied against the fence, was getting uppercut. He took three or four knees. I know he was bouncing around and he ran to the cage and he was all excited to be there and he wanted to show everybody how his improved cardio and the weight loss was going to be, but he got bullied in the defense, and after about three or four knees, you've seen a look on his face, he started to gas. Yeah. He was tired. The old Frank came out. He got tired. He took that knee, went down. He appeared to be out from the shot, but he did bounce up. It was only a matter of time, but a big – look at Josh Barnett. What a comeback win for him.
You know what? I was going to say that. The one thing that really stuck in my mind is how different Josh Barnett is from everybody else in the division. The way he just set up Frank Mir's head to not be able to move and have to take that knee was a stroke of genius. A lot of guys go out there and do headhunting. A lot of guys go out there and look for the takedown. But the methodical approach Josh Barnett does, and you know I'm not his biggest fan, that really impressed me. I was very, very impressed by what Josh Barnett showed us yesterday.
I agree with everything you said. When you watch how he got to the fence, every uppercut was calculated. Every knee was calculated. He knew exactly. This wasn't like a wild brawl. Every shot was well-placed, and he looked fantastic. Not many people could have survived that barrage that he put on there for that good minute.
That's true.
He looked good.
Yeah. The one thing I really worry about Frank Mir right now is brain damage. He's taken so many shots. He's gone down so much. He's been KO'd so much. I really, really worry about... I mean, he's 34 years old, for crying out loud. But he's probably one of the candidates for who should get a clear brain exam. I mean, a big one. Not just the commission-mandated one.
He's taken a lot of... I think of the Carwin fight.
Yeah.
I mean, he has taken... He has fought everybody. He has, man. He's been in there, two-time champion. I can't think of another heavyweight off his back who's more dangerous.
True.
In the division. I mean, what he did to Nogueira in that second fight was just incredible. Nog's old, but, well, body-wise.
Even there, he took a lot of damage to even get to that point.
He did. He got stiffened with a few shots. He went down, and Nog pretty much woke him up.
Yeah.
I tried to just submit him.
What I found interesting yesterday at the press conference was when Frank Mir said, look, about stopping fights on flash knockouts, hey, if they had stopped the Nogueira fight after I went down, the whole thing afterwards wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have submitted him. But is that really a good defense for not stopping on a flash knockout? I mean, the referee's job at the end of the day is to protect guys from further damage. So.
Yeah, you know, the calm and cool Frank that we always see, the cocky Frank,
Yeah,
that's the most aggravated I've ever seen him.
Okay. I personally didn't understand why Dana went off on the ref the way he did. I mean,
Dana was tweeting too the whole time,
yeah,
saying that was terrible, this was terrible, blah blah blah. But to me, I think it's great. It just adds to the little, you know, Barnett mystique that they don't get along. And even though Barnett came in and beat their 12-year guy, Dana was still throwing jabs as if it shouldn't have happened and it was stopped early. So I enjoyed it.
Huh. The one thing I didn't enjoy is when he went off on Rob Hines and said that he didn't know the guy. Rob Hines has been around since 1994. He was one of the original guys on the combat sports mailing list, along with guys like Joel Silva and Sean Shelby. That guy knows what he's doing. He's not a Johnny-come-lately on the block. So it kind of took me a little bit. But obviously it's good for the story. And maybe you can even do a rematch down the line after Barnett loses his first fight.
You could, and I was looking forward to that fight so much. Two great heels. Barnett is such an unlikable man.
True.
Just listening to his stuff, and Frank is very unlikable as well. So you had the battle of the heels. I would have liked to have seen it maybe 5-7 years ago, but it was good enough last night, and nobody can say Frank came in terrible shape, and he beat up an old Frank. Frank looked good physically.
He did. He did. And both guys went at it. That pace you saw wasn't the typical heavyweight pace.
No.
Those guys really, really went at it. So, I mean, I was happy with it. The stoppage may have been a bit early, but personally, I like to err on the side of caution, especially when you're looking at guys like Frank Mir, who have taken a lot of damage. And I personally would want him to stick around for another fight or two than take unnecessary damage in this one. I mean, obviously for him it was bad news, obviously. because losing three in a row is never a good thing. But look, he knows how to talk. He knows how to build up interest. He knows how to shit talk. He's going to be back, and he's going to be all over Josh.
Yes. Again, he, like you mentioned, the talk. I saw a fight where two big guys went in there, exchanged early. Josh got the better of things about 20 seconds in and continued it all the way to that minute 56. Pounded Frank, landed the knee. Frank's lights went out. Yeah. Now, it might have been for a second, but Frank's lights went out. But then I listened to Frank at the press conference, and he almost had me convinced they didn't, and he was ready to sweep them and submit them.
Well, you know what? It might have as well happened. You never know with Frank. He's that great on the ground. But Barnett's not bad either.
Exactly. And that's Barnett was on a mission last night.
He was. He was on a mission to redeem himself. Now, let's see if he pissed hot. That's always a concern with him, obviously. But I've been hearing that Fabricio Werdum may be next for him.
That would be a great fight.
It would be.
Anybody, listen, Barnett has stayed relevant outside of the UFC for a decade. Over a decade. He's always been considered, along with Fedor, the two best guys outside of the UFC.
Yeah.
So let's see anybody they give him. They give him Rothwell. They give him Roy. They give him – he's a tough fight for anybody.
He is. He's deceptively good. Deceptively good.
He'll tell you about it too.
The thing is, he had a couple of fights against Cans outside the UFC. I think nobody's going to disagree with that. But the times he did fight good guys, he always looked good.
He did.
The exception of the Cormier fight, but Cormier shit the bed in his first fight in the UFC as well. So I guess they're even now.
You know, you mentioned looking good. How about Anthony Pettis?
Wow. I mean, I thought Henderson was going to eke it out. I really did. And I did not believe my eyes when I saw him tap out. The thing is, Duke Rufus predicted exactly what happened. He said the first time it hits the ground, Anthony's going to lock him in an armbar, that's going to be it.
Yeah. It was a bizarre... First of all, I was just shocked to see Ben in shorts. to start, that was shocking to me. And you know, did we both take Anthony last night?
I had Henderson.
Oh, you had Henderson. Okay, I took Anthony. I just think it's as great as Henderson is, and Henderson is great. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, what, had won seven in a row?
Yeah.
Up until last night against tough guys. I mean, anytime you could beat Bocek and Miller and Guida and Edgar twice and Diaz and Melendez, he has shown. Now, granted, it's gone the decision most of the way, but he shows a way to win. He's a tough guy. I just think Anthony Pettis is his kryptonite. It's just a bad matchup for him.
Yeah, and he's in a bad position now because after two losses to Pettis, I don't think we're going to see those guys back in the cage against each other anytime soon. So for Henderson, it's going to be a really tough ride from now on out.
Yes, I agree. And then we got Anthony Pettis, who beat Henderson on that last show, WEC 53, came in. He had the loss to Guida, and since then, split decision on Stevens, destroyed Joe Lozon, destroyed Cowboy, and submitted Ben. I hats off to the guy. He looks spectacular.
Yeah. That's the thing. I want to say that Ben Henderson and Pettis are cut from the same cloth. But for some reason, Henderson and the fans never connected, whereas Anthony Pettis and the fans really connected. So I think there's a big upside for him. I think he might be the next big lightweight star. And by star, I don't necessarily mean the most dominant lightweight, but somebody people actually rally behind, somebody who actually moves pay-per-view points.
Well, they definitely loved him in his hometown. Well, and he delivered. Huge. Yeah, and he delivered huge.
The only person who manages to get booed in his hometown is Frank Mir.
He gets booed in his own house.
Probably, probably, but only if Jesse's around.
Yeah, at this point.
Really? That bad?
Yeah. We're talking about Mir, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Yes. I don't, you know, I we'll see. I'll leave that one alone. I ain't going to say anything.
The other news of the weekend was that Overeem is still has a contract. He still has a job with the UFC. What do you think of that?
I think that's great. I want someone else to knock him silly. I think that's tremendous. That fight... He looked like a different guy physically.
Yeah.
which was even better. What did he come in at? 250? 252?
He looked heavy. He looked heavy.
Yeah, but he just – he looked – his physique did not look the same as when he fought Lesnar.
True.
And he got in there, and to his credit, in the first round of that fight, he had Travis hurt.
Yeah.
You know, he had him hurt, but he ran out of gas. He keeps his hands down. He sticks his chin out, and he doesn't have a chin.
Yeah.
So.
I watched that fight with Mark Hunt and his gang down in Sydney.
Really?
You would not believe how much Hunt loved that fight.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
I wish I had the running commentary for it, but he blasted Alistair. Even before he got knocked out, he blasted him. So.
Listen, another fight that was very, very enjoyable. Ben Rothwell and Brandon Vera.
Oh, my God.
Ben Rothwell. Now, listen, here's another guy who got the TRT exception. He physically looked good. He should when you're on that. There's no excuse if you don't. And then you have Brandon Vera, who came in at 240-something pounds and did his best Houston Alexander impersonation for most of the fight. He was running around, and then they get to the third round, and Ben, I don't know what that dance is he's got, but he got excited, bull ran him, finished him off, 154 of the third round. What'd you think of that fight?
Honestly, the first two rounds, I thought, oh, God, this is going to be so bad. I mean, Vera didn't look that bad for having put on over 40 pounds since his last fight. But it seemed to be going nowhere for the first two rounds. And then he just hulked up. Then Ben just hulked up and finished it. And he cut a hell of a promo afterwards.
He, you know, one thing that comes from listening to Ben talk. Well, two things. One thing, he's not very intelligent.
Right.
But he seems like a pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
He seems like a guy. He goes out there. He knocked out Schaub. He's very inconsistent. He wins one, loses one, wins one, loses one. He's been doing this for a while. He's, you know, watching him fight, there are certain guys when you think, you know, how do you think I would fare against so-and-so? You know, if you get in a bar fight with him, say. Ben Rothwell is not a guy I want to fight.
Nope, never.
That is a scary, big, 6'3", 265-pound guy with an incredible chin. Vera hit him hard.
Yeah. But the good news is you're probably not going to get in a fight with him because he's one of the easiest guys to get along with.
Well, that is good.
If you walk up to him and challenge him to a contest of any sort, he's probably going to buy you a beer and give you a tap on the back. That's the type of guy he is.
Well, you noticed it when you watched the press conference when they asked him about his training routine. And yeah. Pettis walked in. He goes, okay, I'm done. Here you go. You know, because he wanted to give Anthony a spot.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. I'm happy for Ben Rothwell. You know, guys on the board or different people pick on him. And sometimes, you know, his cardio comes into question. He's had some fights that aren't exactly going to tear the house down. But good for him. Good for him. Yeah. I was happy to see him get a win at his hometown. Good for him.
I would actually like to see him against Travis Brown. I don't think he would do well against Travis, but hey, I would love to see the fight.
You know, it's funny. He was only doing that out of respect when he tweeted him last night and challenged him. And Travis had an attitude.
Yeah.
Travis, you know, tweeted back, you know, you're not ready for me, son. You're not this. Listen, Travis, don't get too happy. Don't get too happy beating up a legitimate light heavyweight in Alistair.
Huh.
And you elbowed Gonzaga in the back of the head for your win. Let's not get too happy with yourself.
Maybe he's just playing as well. I mean, guys are learning to build up fights now. Even Phil Davis has been challenging people. Case in point, Chael Sonnen.
Please don't let that happen.
Oh, please not. The last fight, last of Phil Davis fight I really enjoyed was the one against Gustafsson, where he submitted Gustafsson. But ever since then, it's been downhill.
His fights, remember the fight with Rashad? I'm trying to forget that one.
I already have.
That was absolutely terrible. It looks like it might be Rashad.
I would love that fight. I mean, let me qualify that. I would love him and Vanderlei. But in absence of that happening, I can live with Chael and Rashad.
You know, the Vanderlei thing is hilarious because I see Dana talking about that Vanderlei's hurt. He's not able to fight until January, blah, blah, blah. They're saying his back, whatever. That's news to me. Okay. That is absolute news to me because, as you know, My store is right in the parking lot at Las Vegas Athletic Club, and that is where Vanderlei trains. And I'm in there 3 or 4 days a week, 7 in the morning. Vanderlei went to Brazil. I think he shot a commercial or a show. His wife babysat the kids. Then his wife went to Brazil. He babysat the kids. He has been training for the last 3 months, probably 5 days a week at LVAC, lifting and running. So okay. I don't know where this back or he's injured story comes from.
Saving and face, maybe?
It's funny. I just saw him Wednesday. He was in the store Wednesday. I had the who's who the last 2 or 3 days in the store. Yeah. I had Vanderlei and Mike Tyson.
That's an interesting contrast.
That is an interesting contrast, yeah. But Vanderlei came in. He looks in great shape. I try not to talk jail too much with him. Vanderlei's one of those guys. He's super, super nice. Kind of the same with Tyson, but you're still a little uneasy around him.
Really? Vanderlei?
Yeah, Vanderlei's super nice. And he spends money. He's in the store once a week. I don't talk too much jail with him. I brought jail up a couple of weeks to him, and I kind of got that wild-eyed look, and I decided to talk about amino acids right after that. I changed the subject, but there were guys in the store. Obviously, they know who he is, and there's guys in the store taking pictures with him, and they're like, oh, we want to see you kick Chael's ass, blah, blah, blah. And Vanderlei's just throwing his hands in the air. He's like, hey, I'm ready. I'm waiting. Huh. But then you hear about pay-per-view points. You hear about this. You hear about he's hurt. Nothing makes sense.
Huh. I wonder if it's just posturing on somebody's part.
It's either that or in a bizarre way, Dana doesn't see Vanderlei at this stage of his career as a viable opponent. He's looking to get Chael on the path to another title shot.
But the easiest way to do that is to give him Vanderlei.
You would think. It is the weirdest thing. Vanderlei has never said, you know, I don't want the fight or I'm hurt or something. I'm shocked. It's bizarre that this isn't taking place.
I mean, the point, in my opinion, is Vanderlei probably knows that Chael has got a good chance of beating him. I think it's just normal that somebody would look to be compensated accordingly.
Well, yeah, not only – yeah, and people have said it too. There's been guys – I get all the guys from all the gyms. You know that in the store.
Right.
And sure, Vanderlei would like a fight where someone would stand with him, like the stand fight, and exchange. And if he gets knocked out, oh, well, he's going to go out on his shield. You know Vanderlei.
Right.
He'll go in there and swing him. Chael isn't that fight for him.
Yeah.
Stylistically, it may be a bad matchup, but – I mean, Vanderlei put the promo out that he would fight him, and everybody, when they see him at the gym, when you fight, he's got to listen to about Chael all day.
Of course, he's all over the place.
He's all over the place. So I don't know why that fight is not taking place. I really, really don't. Vanderlei is not hurt.
Yeah. Interesting thing. The day after the Shogun Chael fight, I got a call from one of the top Brazilian trainers who was absolutely shocked that one of his Brazilian guys basically went down to submission for Chael. He was shocked that Chael even had it in him.
You know what's funny? A story on that. I'll tell you, there's a lot of big bets that go on with these fights. A lot of the guys bet heavy. Heavy, heavy bets. Not going to say who, but a lot of guys, you know, besides the fight, there's a lot of betting going on. And that evening, I remember getting a text saying, put the house on Chael.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, what has shifted the power of this? And then about an hour and a half later, I see Shogun get in there. He looked terrible as far as his conditioning. I mean, he always looks like that. Did he do anything?
Well, I do know he took a break in his training camp to basically fuck up with his girlfriend or wife.
Oh, he did?
Went on a short vacation midway through his training camp. But I chalked it up to him having an injury and having to take a break anyway.
Well, that's the thing with Shogun. He's most of the time he's hurt.
Yeah.
When he's not hurt, he's a top five guy in the world.
Huh.
When he's – I mean, but everybody – and here's another one. But then it backfires. Last Tuesday, I got a call. Bet the house on Martin Kampmann.
Really?
Everybody was betting on Martin Kampmann. When I tell you everybody and big bucks.
Okay.
So I saw the first round, and I'm thinking, well, okay, somebody knows something here. He took Condit down four times, and then he took a beating shortly after that. But the betting is incredible, just incredible.
I did see the line shift a little bit for the fight a couple of days out. So, but that happens a lot, so I didn't really think anything of it.
Yeah, it's in an all-time fever with this betting.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting Chael to grind out a decision against Shogun. I really, really felt he was going to beat Shogun, but submitting him the first round, I did not see coming.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
And then he cut the promo. I mean, Chael, he's at an all-time high. I mean, he can do it all. Then he went right to broadcasting right after that.
Yeah, and drew a pretty good rating.
Cut a promo. He's doing it all.
Yeah.
So good for him. I know Front Row Brian's excited about it.
I just wouldn't squander him on a fight against Phil Davis.
I wouldn't either.
Davis is really big, is really strong, but I don't think he statistically could pose too many problems for Chael.
No.
Other than size, obviously he could impose his will through size. That's something you always got to keep an eye on. But as far as his wrestling goes, I would probably take Chael if it were a wrestling match between the two. Just MMA wrestling, not Greco-Roman.
Yeah, as long as the TRT's in, I got him.
Yeah.
I'm going to take him.
It works for him. Obviously, the TRT works for him.
Yes, it does. You know, another fight from last night, pretty exciting, was the Chad Mendes-Clay Guida fight.
Now, that was impressive as hell. I mean, Chad Mendes actually stopping Clay was impressive. I kind of liked
stopping
the fact...
Stopping her, too.
Oh, yeah. I really liked the fact that Clay was a bit less defensive than the fight against our good friend of the show.
Uh-huh.
He seemed like he opened up a little bit more and did a little bit more, but there was definitely a disparity as far as skill was concerned in the fight against Chad Mendes. Chad Mendes is really, really good. He's just not good enough to beat the champion.
You know, before we even continue on this conversation, let's send a special shout-out to someone who has been a big part of the show, both interview-wise. You mentioned Gray Maynard. Aunt Evans, who got married.
He did.
He got married yesterday.
He's an honest man now.
He got married yesterday. Yes, he got married yesterday, but Ann has been quietly a big part of the show over the years. We've probably had 70 guests. Ann's responsible for a lot of them.
That's true. He pulled the trigger on many of them.
He did, and he got me with Gray Maynard, too. And let me tell you something, Ant. I've seen you probably 5 or 6 times at these shows, and I've played nice and shook your hand. But you remember, your killers come with smiles. And I'll be waiting. I'm waiting. I'm going to get you back for that one. Don't worry, but congratulations.
What are you going to do, send Phil Baroni?
I might send Baroni. Baroni will go.
I'm pretty sure he would. he might not get in the door, but he'd go.
He'll find a way in.
Yeah. Is Baroni still involved with the Mike Swick camp down in Thailand, or did he pull out of that?
Baroni's back in Vegas.
Okay.
Baroni moved back here because his wife is doing medical school.
Ah, interesting.
So he lives over in Summerlin.
So how's he doing?
I think he's doing better. He's doing better. He's come in the store a couple times. I wasn't there. He left notes, and of course, people that are working there text me and tell me Phil's in. But apparently, he's doing better. I always like the good. There's always the good Phil stories.
And when you say he left notes, did they read "I'll kill you, you fucker"?
There were probably some profanity.
Okay.
Things were spelled wrong, but yeah, he was. I always think back to the time when I hired that real young kid that was like 19. And he called me in a panic. He was actually crying and said, "Hey, that Phil Baroni's in here. He's throwing things at me." I'll never forget that. I had sold Phil a product, and Phil wasn't real happy with it, and walked into the store and threw it at him.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, we had Mike Tyson in.
Hmm.
Doesn't get much better than that. Iron Mike.
It doesn't. Though I hope you didn't sell
me. Let me tell you something with that one, too. This is how bizarre this is. You go on Facebook. I go on Facebook. Social media, it's always big. I post on Facebook, Mike Tyson came into the store. That's all. A simple little post. One of the members of the message board got in and was very upset that Mike Tyson was in the store.
Huh?
Called him a rapist. He's no good. You know, he's not one of these guys that cheers when Mike Tyson comes on TV. You know, blah, 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 this and that. So I told him, I said, listen, calm down. I don't know what you're getting all upset. He unfriended me.
Huh.
It was a bizarre blow up over Mike Tyson. I cannot say that Mike comes in the store anymore. I got to keep that quiet.
Huh, interesting. Yeah. I mean, I brought my parents over last New Year's for the New Year's show. And the UFC set up my dad with a really good ticket, and he sat next to Mike Tyson for the entire show, and they got on great.
And Mike looks good, by the way.
Yeah.
He's not heavy like he was. So he was nice with your parents. That's always good.
Oh, absolutely. Well, actually, my dad, my mother wasn't there. She considers fighting too brutal.
Really?
Plus, actually, she kept busy on the slot machine, so.
And Mr. Cop is a fight fan.
He wasn't before, but he's definitely a UFC fan now. Let me guess.
His favorite fighter is Dennis Seaver.
Actually, it was Jim Miller, because he came out to CCR.
Okay.
My dad's big time into the 70s music, 80s music, so.
Really?
Anybody who doesn't come out to new metal or rap, he definitely got his attention. And Jim Miller did that.
Was that his first show?
Yeah, he's never been to a UFC show before. He's never seen it on television before. He just wanted to finally, you know, get a chance to see it. And what better place to see a UFC than in Vegas?
You're not kidding.
But the story, again, is that Tyson was really, really cordial, really nice with him for the entire evening. They actually bonded over drinks afterwards.
Well, he has been. Tyson's in rehab.
Yeah, that's the thing that worries me. I mean, I read the articles that he said he was just a couple of days, weeks, months away from dying from his demons. I hope he gets clean soon. I really hope he does.
Well, you know what it is, I think, that he's been able to get away with is when you see him on TV and you see him doing these interviews and he's acting nuts and he's laughing and giggling, I think people just think he's doing that because he's crazy. Or maybe the medication that they have him on has him a little crazy.
Right.
But not figuring he's hammered.
So the old Iron Sheik concept.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I couldn't say enough good things about him, Vandalay, or anybody else. I don't know. Are you a baseball fan?
Not particularly, no. But
okay. I've had them in, too. Bryce Harper's father.
Bryce Harper's father. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a crazy, wild week at the store. It's been a crazy, wild time, 18 months.
A lot has happened. Mike Hunt, I wanted to say. Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt has had a very good time during that time.
Yes.
I mean, even when he got knocked out against Junior, he became so much more popular for that fight than he had been before.
He's very likable.
It's incredible. I mean, a couple of guys obviously are over him. Are saying, okay, he's had his moment, piss off now, same as Chael. But I think he can still be a player in the division as far as entertainment value is concerned. I would personally pay them to do Alistair and Mark Hunt.
That would be, yes, that is a fight I would like to see. But getting back to that earlier one, Chad Mendes has looked terrific. He mentioned he's had his father in his corner now for the last four fights. He's knocked out all four guys. And since that fight with Jose Aldo, really on a tear.
True. Do you think a rematch against Jose Aldo would go much differently?
No, he'll get knocked out again. But he's been on a tear for four fights.
Yeah.
We hear about it great about Dwayne Ludwig. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing about Dwayne Ludwig. And what a great addition he's been over to the Alpha Male. But he's helped him. Mendes has looked good. And what you mentioned something earlier briefly, hats off to Guida, who didn't do the typical Greg Jackson. Guida was on the offense a lot. Guida was coming forward.
I think he's just not good enough to beat a guy like Chad Mendes.
Not at this point. No. Hey, no. Guida, it's amazing. Guida had, what, about 144 fights in a row that were fantastic? He has that one fight to Maynard, and 50% of the people turned on him.
Yeah, I mean, I still love to see him. I love to watch him. I just wish there was a middle ground somewhere, and I think he brought out that middle ground in the fight against Chad Mendes.
Yeah, I'd pay to see Clay Guida. I always think of that time we had that Riviera show, and that guy was telling us the story how the promoter said that this is going to be the greatest fight card ever, and the guy says, "What is Clay Guida fighting 10 times?" You know, but I'll still pay to say, you know, to see Clay Guida. But yeah. Chad Mendes is on a tear. I'm looking for another guy, Dustin Poirier.
Dude, honestly, by far my favorite fighter this card was Dustin Poirier and Eric Koch.
Well, yeah. Koch, okay.
Well, listen, it's a German name.
It's
pronounced Koch in German. But if you wanted to anglicize it, it would be Koch. So I really got to get used to Koch.
This suddenly got uncomfortable.
Kind of. Especially for him. But, Poirier really, 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 really should count his lucky stars that he got out of that triangle.
You ain't kidding. He was almost out. But who's the judge who gave Eric that round 29-27, or the fight 29-27?
No idea.
That's terrible.
No idea. I was impressed by both guys, though. I mean, I was impressed by the fact that Eric Koch came around in the third round and actually took the round. I was impressed by Dustin for coming back from that triangle and locking up his anaconda towards the end of the round.
Yep.
Those guys, I think both of those guys are going to be threats in the division going forward.
They both look good. Gleison Tebow, who always starts out well for the first couple of rounds and then fades because he's big, muscular for that weight class. Beat Jamie Varner, split decision. Varner started to come on in the third round. Decent fight.
Yeah. I personally had Varner winning two rounds, but again, it was a close fight, and you could give it to Gleison. I thought Varner fought a good fight. Gleison is not to be underestimated. He's a really dangerous guy in the first two rounds. He's got power, he's got speed, he's got knockout power. He's a really dangerous dude.
I'll tell you what, Tim Elliott looked good too.
I did not expect him to beat Louis Godineau.
No, beat him bad.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
No, two judges had it 30-26. It was a dominant performance. He looked outstanding.
Yeah, he should be back soon. I really hope he's gonna get a good run in the UFC.
And who was the guy who beat Pascal Cross?
Hyun, whatever.
I'm going to let you pronounce since you're doing so well.
I have no idea how to pronounce it.
Hyungu Lim.
Hyungu Lim, I have no idea how you pronounce it, but he looked massive.
But there's no cock, so it's...
I don't think there's a cock anywhere in there.
That got uncomfortable, too.
Yeah, a little bit. But again, it's par for the course here.
Chico Camus, he looked very good.
He did. A lot of people are questioning that decision.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, though. Do you think
Young
Ho won?
Kang, it was close. I was still reeling from the heavyweight fight that took place before that with Nikita and the Hulk.
You were sleeping, you mean?
I gotta be nice. The Hulk follows me on Twitter.
I legit fell asleep during that fight.
That was a fight where both guys seemed to gas early, and so did I. I don't know what else to say. It was terrible.
It felt like pulling teeth for the longest part. I mean,
that was bad.
If Josh Barnett and Frank Mir was everything that's good about heavyweights, that fight was everything that's bad about heavyweights.
You're not kidding. But one guy I felt bad for was Ryan Couture.
Yeah, he got the short end of the stick there.
He got a lot. Eli Aquino looked tremendous. 30-27 across the board. Ryan's well liked out here. Fought in Tough Enough plenty of times. Obviously, everybody knows who he is. He's got outstanding jiu-jitsu. You didn't get a chance to see it. He's not a stand-up fighter. Got a ton of heart, good chin. He just probably isn't good enough to be in there.
The problem is his name is giving him chances that are bigger than what he's ready for right now. Look at the fight against Ross Pearson. He should not have been there with Ross Pearson.
No, I like how they wouldn't. They referred to him just with Randy as his father.
Right. They didn't mention Randy once over three rounds, I think.
No, it was his father. Actually, Rogan just talked about Eli Aquina the entire time. You would think that the fight was like 30-21. Yeah. The way he was describing the action with Iaquinta, but it was a good performance by Al. And the final fight on the show was Magnus, who submitted Hammond with a guillotine 57 seconds into the first round and cut an unintentional funny promo.
He did. I mean, that was one hell of a guillotine.
He did. I think Rogan said that looked great. He goes, yeah. It did.
Typical sweet, understated, but funny. Funny as hell.
It was. He was over. The fans liked it. All in all, I enjoyed the show last night.
Yeah. And obviously, Fox is showing a lot more UFC now than we're supposed to on Fox Sports 1.
Yes. Yes. I think it's good. I think the coverage has been good. I enjoyed, from a few fights ago, I enjoyed Brian Stann.
I think Brian Stann is a really good commentator if you give him space.
Yes, when he was with Goldberg on that one show, I thought they were very good together.
Yeah. I would probably not pair him with Kenny Florian, though.
No.
That's one thing that doesn't really work for me.
No. I don't even enjoy Anakin Florian.
Yeah, well.
I don't enjoy that pairing either.
Personally, there's nothing wrong with them on a technical level, but they sound so much alike that it's hard to tell them apart sometimes.
He's got a few things working against him. They sound alike, and that upper lip when he does the post-fight interviews. he stares at you like a killer. He's got that psychopath look on his face. I think Anik is very, very good in the studio.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of his doing the play-by-play. Now, I know a lot of guys get on Goldberg, a friend of the show who's been on here, a good guy. And I still prefer to hear Goldberg because he lets Rogan talk, whether that's good or not,
right,
for the majority.
But the thing is, John Anik is not a commentator. He's filling a role now that he definitely wasn't favoring just a couple of years ago. He's more of a host-type person.
And he does a good job at that.
Yeah, he does. He does. I think it's also something he feels more comfortable doing, and that something that brings him more pleasure than being a commentator. It's a totally different ball game. I've done both, and I've always felt more comfortable being a commentator than a host. But I know a lot of people who are just the other way around.
When's the last wrestling show? Have you done any wrestling?
I actually did a local wrestling show last October. Mm. Basically a one night only deal. Which convinced me to step away for good because I'm just so far removed. I mean, I've just been doing UFC now for 10 years. It's been 10 years. My first UFC was 37.
Yeah, so, you've been and I've been watching and for about as long.
Yeah, my problem is I'm just so far removed from pro wrestling these days that I don't really know the guys anymore. I don't really know the current names of the moves. You know, every time I talk, I kind of sound like Lord Alfred Hayes out there, because my knowledge is just so dated, and I kind of felt uncomfortable and stepped away from it then.
You know what it is for me is I agree with you, but when there's a WrestleMania, you just can't beat it. That WrestleMania week with the Hall of Fame ceremony the show. I mean, that's my favorite week. Even though I'm not into it like I used to be when I had a newsletter and did the WCW Hotline and all that other stuff. But I'm with you. I don't recognize half of these guys. I don't understand half of it. It's not as entertaining and for me anymore as it used to be. But, WrestleMania weekend's always good.
It's special. I really, really appreciate the conventions going on the day before and the day of WrestleMania, where you can meet all the old legends and just load up on old merchandise and old DVDs. And listen, I flew over just for the Hall of Fame this year. I didn't even go to WrestleMania. I was there, and I didn't go to WrestleMania. Because I had no interest in WrestleMania. I went over there for the Hall of Fame and for the convention the day before.
Did you ever get a chance to see that HBO thing with DDP?
I did. I'm actually pretty impressed by it.
DDP is a good guy.
Yeah.
Yes, I've had a long friendship with DDP, and it's amazing what he has done here with Jake Roberts and with Scott Hall.
The one thing that really got a chuckle out of me is Jake Roberts not getting hair transplants.
I seen that. And what an outstanding job he did singing the national anthem, too.
Yeah. he really, really wants to be in the next Rumble, and he really wants to get a chance to be at the next WrestleMania. That's what's motivating Jake Roberts right now.
I think he is going to be at the Rumble. I don't follow it, but if he's talking about it and he gets himself in somewhat shape, I mean, they could put him out there, DDT somebody, and just kind of roll out of the ring and go back.
He's got a huge proponent in Brock Lesnar. Brock has been pulling for him. You would not believe how much he's been pulling for him. He's been putting in good words for him. He's been talking to Triple H about opening the door for Roberts to come back. He's been doing a lot of legwork for Roberts.
Speaking of which, Brock looks well.
I actually just saw the match against CM Punk the other day, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
I mean, not just physically, he looks roided up to the gills again. But
so, he had to be well over 300 pounds.
He looked like 3.2 bills, something like that. 320
he
or
really
so.
Really did, but they had a great match.
Yeah, the thing is, when you're his size and when you've had what he's had, when you're his age, you should not be moving that well. You should not have that much stamina.
He looked fantastic.
I honestly felt bad when he left the UFC, but it was for the best at the time. But he's become such an effective wrestler again.
Yeah, he has.
I'm really happy for him, and he's pulling in big money for doing just a couple of dates a year. So, for him, for his personality, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And for WWE, it's working as well because they've had a couple of really good matches with him. He's done good business on pay-per-view. Not always great business, but good business. And they're probably going to have him carry next year's WrestleMania.
Probably him and Undertaker, right?
That's the one thing they're looking at right now. Huh. Because there isn't much left for Undertaker to do. The one match he always wanted to have was against Sting, and that's probably not going to happen.
Wouldn't it be great if they get in there with the streak and Brock shoots on him? and holds him down and they count to three.
That's not gonna happen.
That would make me so happy.
But just consider the build. I mean, it goes back years. Remember that interview with Ariel, with Brock.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So there's a lot of footage out there for Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. And if they're gonna do it, it's gonna have to be soon.
Yeah.
Because eventually they're gonna turn Brock face. That's what I'm thinking at least. And he would have to be the heel against the Undertaker to make the match work.
I gotta watch what I say about Brock, because the last time I said something about Brock, it was on every single website.
Really?
And when I said about, listen, and that was true, that whole thing with the Fedor and what they were thinking about doing with Fedor. Remember I had mentioned that last year?
Yeah.
I threw a little thing in and everybody laughed, and then Dana finally admitted to it.
Right.
Yeah. He finally admitted to it. That was all true. Everybody got on me.
You had your redemption.
I got my redemption. I can't help that Fedor's dad passed away.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to fight anymore.
Yeah, so. for him, it's probably not worth it. You know,
no.
The thing people misunderstood about Fedor the entire time is he's not about money. It's never been about money for him.
No.
That's the reason why he had his management.
He's got a great club going. He doesn't need the money.
Yeah. That's the one thing. The other thing is, once you have $1 million in Russia, especially if you live out in the countryside, you're not going to have to work another day in your life.
Yeah.
And Fedor is kind of like Brock. Fedor doesn't like to be around people that much. If he can be in his cabin chopping wood all day, that's something he would love to do. Much more than going to Vegas.
Yeah, and that's what he's doing.
And at the same time, I'm still kind of bummed out he never made it to the UFC.
I am too. He should have done it earlier. Should have done it a lot earlier. But the thing that bummed me out was that fight with Overeem and Lesnar.
Yeah.
It's too bad Brock wasn't feeling well, and it's too bad that Brock was on the way out and I pretty much didn't want to take any punishment. Just get out of there.
Yeah. Alistair fought the perfect strategy in that fight. He hit Brock in the one spot where he knew that he was going to have a reaction.
Well, he got the reaction he wanted.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That's for sure. But I got to tell you, man, it's been great talking to you.
Likewise.
It's been way overdue. It's good to be back on the Wrestling Observer here and talk to you. And hopefully we can do this every so often and get together a little more often.
I want to see that the Ultimate Fighter with Misha and Ronda is going to be a very good chance to do so, because that's going to be fireworks, brother. That's going to be fireworks.
And there's a show.
There is two.
There's another show. So hopefully we can get together here in the next couple of weeks. I'm pretty available Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, depending on your busy traveling schedule that you have.
Well, the thing is, if we can do it on short notice, it's probably always going to be easier. And if I know that you're going to be available towards the end of the week, I'm thinking the day after events is probably going to be the most interesting one.
Yeah, Sunday after the events, if I can get you out of Bangkok every so often or away from Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, exactly. That's actually where I'm heading on Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah. There's a conference in Amsterdam once a year, and I'm going to be there. And no, it's not the High Times Cannabis Cup.
I was going to say, is that your excuse?
I might actually go to that as well, but I'm probably going to stay professional.
Okay.
At least somewhat.
At least somewhat. But so. It's been good talking. Let's get together again soon. Keep in touch. And, until we talk again.
Enjoy Ultimate Fighter. That's all I'm going to say. You're going to love it.
Oh, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Speak to you soon, brother.
All right, buddy.
Tough Talk. 100% MMA.